8816, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning. And welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN.
If Aaron Rodgers does go to the New York Jets, do you avoid trading with them? Because shot or no shot, if you give them nine, you're giving Aaron Rodgers, Jackson Smith, and Jigba.
That's a shot. That's a shot. Young talent like that, a wide receiver, if the Jets already make the deal with Rodgers, okay, he's going to need more weapons. Imagine having a stud wide receiver who we both feel is the best wide receiver, clearly, in the first round.
Why do I care what the Jets do? All I care about is my team.
I get it.
If it was the Packers, I get it. It's the Jets. Who cares if Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback? They're in the other league.
I'm just saying that you don't want to just hand over someone that could be a difference maker at nine if you're making a deal, correct?
You're going to hand over a difference maker.
If you trade out of nine.
You're going to hand, whatever.
Yeah.
You handed over a difference maker at one, but the deal made sense for our side.
Yeah.
I got no problem. If they move and one of his guys is there, go for it.
Also, it increases your chances to be able to cash that ticket.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? I mean, you got them in the Super Bowl, don't you?
Oh, the Jets ticket.
Yes.
I thought you meant the Bears.
No, the Jets ticket.
Yes, it would increase
the
chances to cash that ticket.
Get as much talent as you can, baby. I'm Cap. Take that.
That's it.
That's exactly what you'd be saying.
Got him at 28-1.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Miracle.
Shake.
Miracle ticket.
All right, I've reached out to Tracy Butler to ask and make sure if the Sox are going to get their game in. My next question regards the game today. She has said, yes, they will get it in, but very windy, waiting on hearing which direction so we know which way to bet the total. The Sox are back in action today with must-see TV as Dylan Cease is on the mound. But Cease, Hoodie, he might not be the only must-see guy on your team right now. Luis Robert Jr. has put on an absolute clinic in the outfield for the White Sox, and he's flexed his power a little bit with two home runs already.
Mm-hmm.
His OPS isn't great because he hasn't drawn a walk, but shot or no shot, this is not only the year Robert will win his second gold glove, he's also going to contend for American League MVP.
That is a shot. 100% shot. I'm so pleased by Luis Robert. Again, blessed with good health, and I'm knocking on wood and Formica and everything else, Cap. He will be able to get those awards. Now, it's funny about that, right? Because ultimately, my goal and any normal fan's goal is to see your team in the postseason. That's the number one goal. You love the individual achievements. This is why in the NBA you get this who's going to win the championship or who's going to win the MVP. Those are hot conversations. But ultimately, I want to see this team in the postseason, but I want what's best for Robert, too. That guy is going to be a cornerstone for quite some time for the Sox team. He's already flashing leather. So I'm hoping that he's able to get those, again, individually, great. I hope they can help the team get to the postseason.
Yeah, I'll say shot on the gold glove for sure. He's a beast defensively. I'm going to say no shot this year on the MVP. He's got to prove to me he can play through the nagging aches and pains.
It's fair.
He and Moncada, it's always something with those guys. And they're wildly talented. Wildly.
Yes.
So I'm going to say no shot at this point on the MVP side of that question.
Completely fair. Because you're waiting to see how many games these players will play, especially Robert in particular, because he's fantastic, Cap.
Correct.
Fantastic.
Correct. Shake.
And you can hear that White Sox game right here on ESPN 1000, pregame 12:30 with Connor McKnight, as always. First pitch, 1:10.
By the way, you can't use Tracy that way. That's really unfortunate.
I'm trying to handicap the game. I'm trying to build myself an advantage.
For your handicap show? You don't have one of those. That's selfish. You're reaching out to Tracy to find out whether or not you're going to take the over or not. Cap, that's not what she's here for. You're finding out about the weather, but he's trying to find out the wind conditions.
Correct.
So that way you take the over or the under.
Well, when he calls her, he doesn't say, what's the weather? Like, wind in or wind out, total is 8.5.
It wasn't Tracy good morning either. How are you? How's the family?
Weather Center, ABC 7. Hey! Weather. What's the wind doing at guaranteed rate right now and then again at 1:10?
Listen, if you have these connections, you should use them.
I think you also should pinch her off a little, some of that cash if you win, too.
She was responding very quickly when I was asking about the game, and then as soon as I asked the direction of the wind, she cut me off. She's not answering that one.
You know
she
that,
knows where I'm going with it.
You know that Zetterman got inside information a few years ago. Inside information. This is when we were doing the old show.
Yeah.
Remember when the Bulls took the first two games in Boston?
Correct.
But then Rondo broke his thumb and he was done? Danny's on the phone back there, and I'm like, what are you doing? We go to break. Oh, about 10 minutes ago, I learned from somebody, it's not out yet, Rondo broke his thumb. So what were you doing? Mm-hmm. Betting the other way. Because the Bulls were favored at home.
Yep.
The line completely swung. I lost my bet, and he won. Yes!
Shay.
All right, Red Sox outfielder Masataka Yoshida hit his first career home run on Monday night. The family that got the ball refused to give it back. They received multiple offers from the team, and they continued to say no. They were keeping the ball. They ended up leaving with the baseball. Yoshida does not have his first major league home run. Shot or no shot, the family should give it back.
Well, look, they caught the home run, and that's their right to hang on to it. Now, what are they offering? Or are they saying, we don't care what you give us, it's ours, we don't want to give it to
it
you?
It sounds a lot like situation two.
Well, that's jerky. That is jerky, in my opinion. If he said, hey, I'll give you a signed jersey and a bat and four tickets to a game of your choice, sounds like a fair deal to me. It's not like it's worth $1 billion. It's got special value to him.
Correct. Are we sure those are Red Sox fans?
Yes. Apparently the ball was caught by the Pirates fans sitting next to them on the Green Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Those fans then gave it to the kids who were Red Sox fans next to them, and those fans refused to give the ball back to Yoshida.
Wow.
So what is it worth to you, Cap? You just don't mind a signed bat and tickets? You just probably give it to Brett anyway.
Look, if you told me the ball was worth $100,000, it's not. I mean, his right. first career home, it's not.
Right.
But if you told me it was some, like, life-changing amount of money, well, yeah, then they have to make you whole.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, what's his name? Yoshida?
Yoshida, yeah.
Okay. I'd like a jersey because I think it's a cool collectible that I caught your first home run. I'd like a signed bat, ball, and a jersey. Here you go.
That's all I'd really want.
That's it. And a picture with you. That's
yeah.
it. I think that's more than fair.
Yes. What about free hot dogs for life? Go to Fenway Park, you'll never pay for a Fenway Frank again.
Right, and then you'd put ketchup on it.
I would not. I don't know where you got the idea that I put ketchup on hot dogs.
I thought you were a ketchup guy.
No, I'm a plain hot dog guy.
What does that mean?
I put nothing on it.
Plain, meaning nothing.
That's worse.
No chance.
Is it?
A plain hot dog.
Put that on the poll, please, at ESPN 1000. Is it best for you, when you're eating a hot dog, what's worse, putting ketchup on it or eating it plain? Put that up there and see how that comes back.
God, I couldn't eat a dry hot dog like that.
No. You got to have something on it.
Right. Relish. I don't believe in ketchup on a hot dog. Mm-hmm. My kids don't believe in it. They were raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
A little mustard, a little of the nuclear glow-in-the-dark relish,
mm-hmm.
pickle spear, some onions, a little celery salt, and tomatoes. Let's go, Chicago dog.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm surprised at the plain hot dog. So you get it. You just buy it and then nothing else. You just go walk right back to your seat.
Yeah.
You don't stop by with something, a little relish or something, maybe mustard, something.
Yeah,
plain hot dog, pal. It's the best. That's how I eat it.
What?
Hey! What is that now?
That was Jay Moore.
Is that a mug sliding across the table there?
No, that is sound effects from you yesterday between here and the bathroom.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
When you gotta go. I don't know what to tell you.
I understand that, but I mean, if you put some accoutrement on there, you wouldn't have the, you know, that.
Might be worse.
That's what happens when you eat a play hot dog.
Yeah. Not good.
Around the NFL, coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want
winner.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood. Here's Shane Orling. Shane?
Well, let's start with what I teased in a shot or no shot for around the NFL today.
I have something for you, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
We'll get to that in a moment. Let's start with this. I teased the Rodgers to the Jets conversation. There's starting to be a little bit of uncertainty as this goes on. It's been 3 weeks now since Aaron Rodgers shared his intention to play for the Jets on Pat McAfee. Well, in 3 weeks from today, the draft starts. So, or 3 weeks from tomorrow, rather, the draft starts. Mm-hmm. And things kind of have to get sped up here if the Jets are going to move some of their picks this year. Well, it's being suggested now, is there the potential that this deal could fall apart and the 49ers could find their way back into the Rodgers sweepstakes?
No shot. Oh, we already did that segment. No, I do not see that happening in everything I have read and heard. And again, I don't work for the Jets, but everything I've heard, read from people I trust in the league, is it's going to get done eventually. They're working through it. They've got to make some salary cap adjustments, but that he's going to be the quarterback of the New York Jets.
Yes. It's just so Jets, though, that it's taking this much time. Like, a lot of other teams, like, let's get this done. Boom. Let's make the big splash for our season ticket holders and for our fan base and everything else. And they're still waiting on Rodgers and this whole deal.
They still forget Aaron holds a lot of the cards here. Because if he really, if they don't find a way to get this done and that's where he says he's going to play, can you imagine if he walked in at OTA, I'm back. Mm-hmm. Let's go, Green Bay. Yep. What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, you're not going to sit him on the bench behind Jordan Love.
Right.
Now you got a full-scale problem there. And they want that money off the books.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't have as much juice in this situation as some fans and media types think they do.
Yes, it's a scenario that we've talked about before, Shay, with him possibly going to San Francisco. But this is, for sure, Rodgers going to the Jets. And again, for the 49ers, why is everyone trying to help them? They're fine. They're a solid front office. They just need to solidify who their quarterback is going to be for years to come. Because once they get that done, I believe that they will find their way into the Super Bowl again under Shanahan. I believe that.
I hope so for their sake. I mean, they've put a lot into it, but three number ones for Trey Lance, and now he's not even going to get his job back? They gave up. They went from 12 to 3.
Yeah.
And then threw two more number ones in there. So two number ones to go from 12 to 3.
So this is not, you know, revisionist history. I told you at the time, Cap, Trey Lance is a big wild card. We talked about the competition that he faced in college and go, you sure he's ready for this level? I mean, you think if you're Shanahan, you're a wizard offensively. You can fix anybody, right? I just thought at the time that was really a gamble for that kid. And again, you and I don't know what Trey Lance is. I'm just telling you, based on the competition he faced, I wasn't sure that he was ready for NFL competition.
Okay, so here's the question. They picked Trey Lance clearly over Justin.
Yeah.
Left Justin on the board.
Yep.
If Justin's who we all in this market think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, is that indicting on John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. That the guy got hurt in game one against the Bears, game two, and can't get back on the field because Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, who has a torn UCL, just had surgery, is your number one guy in the depth chart? Wow. Mm. That's a horrible trade.
Shay.
All right, Hoodie, I'm going to ask you what you have for me. Next thing on my sheet, I imagine we might have a bit of simpatico here. So,
okay,
let's see what you have for me.
Well, I was going to ask you, as a Patriots fan, do you have that too?
Next thing on my sheet.
No kidding. All right.
Bill Belichick is shopping Mac Jones.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Just your opinion of that, because there's a number of headlines. Should Patriots trade Mac Jones? Three reasons for and against. I see this from Shanna McCarriston from CBS Sports. The reason why I bring this up is because, okay, Bill, here's what Mac Jones is not. He's not Tom Brady. Brady, this is a whole different generation, Cap. Brady comes up and he gets hammered by Belichick. Talked about, ridiculed, but also empowering Tom Brady. getting the most out of him as a coach, getting the most out of him. Mac Jones has a disconnect with either Bill Belichick or whoever the offensive coordinator is. Now it's Bill O'Brien. So there's an issue there. So what do you do, Shay, in that spot? Do you trade Mac Jones, or do you let Bill O'Brien work with Jones to get the most out of him?
Yeah, I think it's silly to even entertain the idea. For what it's worth, I texted Albert Breer last night and asked him what he thinks the likelihood is Mac Jones actually gets traded. He said it's very doubtful. I think on paper, when you look at this, you have a quarterback on a rookie deal who's about to enter his third season. And whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, if you're Bill Belichick, you just sabotaged his second season by giving it the offense, the keys to the offense, to your fail son coordinator and Matt Patricia, who led the worst red zone offense in football and tanked all the goodwill from a guy in Mac Jones who, let's not forget, almost won Rookie of the Year. It's not like he was horrible in year one and then horrible again in year two. No, he's pretty good in year one and then horrible in year two with a fake offensive coordinator. Now he's got Bill O'Brien. Let's see what you have before you pull the plug on a rookie deal quarterback that you took in the first round. This is very silly. And it makes me think that everything we're seeing out of New England, whether it's Kraft and Belichick feuding, the story there, the model organization, that feels like it's over and done with. It feels like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
They're not
talking to each other. They don't like each other. They want to do it each their own way. The most important thing is winning. The big question for me is this. If they don't get right next year and win football games, is Kraft going to let him stick around to beat Shula's record?
Yes, I would.
100%.
I would, yes.
Not firing Bill Belichick. No, no
least,
shot.
At least not yet. I mean, there's always a divorce cap in sports. We just know, like, I would imagine that Belichick would finish out his time with New England. But always, who gets the credit? That's usually where the divorce happens. Who gets the credit for the championships and success?
Yeah.
Kraft, or is it the coach, or is it Brady?
I have zero thought that they are going to fire Bill Belichick or force him. No chance.
Well, his quote, Robert Kraft from the owners' meeting, he was asked point blank, and it may have been Breer that asked it, will you allow, like, not will you allow, but it was, if you have another losing season, are you going to think about having Bill stick around for Shula's record? And Kraft's answer was, well, we hope he breaks Don's record, but we don't keep players for stats. We want to win games.
Here we go. All right, Shay, what else do we have?
How about the Cardinals have an ex-executive accusing owner Michael Bidwill of gross misconduct, including cheating, discrimination, and harassment in an arbitration claim filed Tuesday. It was former Cardinals executive Terry McDonough filed this to the NFL. He said both he and former Cardinals head coach Steve Wilks were left with no choice by Michael Bidwill but to use burner phones to communicate with former Arizona general manager Steve Keim while Keim was serving a 5-week suspension after pleading guilty to extreme DUI in Arizona.
Yeah, he's got some nasty allegations, and the Cardinals put out a statement saying, absolutely ridiculous. There's no basis in fact for any of this. His response, I've got the burner phone. I've saved all the messages.
So now what happens? But you said Steve Wilks is part of this as well. He's in a lawsuit as well, right?
Well, it's him and Steve Wilks. Terry McDonough and Steve Wilks are alleging that Michael Bidwill forced them to use burner phones to communicate with the general manager.
The lawsuit was filed by Terry McDonough.
Correct.
So this could get really nasty. Or they're going to say to Michael Bidwill, pay him whatever the amount is. Just give him the money and it'll go away. You do not need this stuff splashed around.
I would agree. That probably is the best course of action.
Correct.
Wow.
Crazy.
That sounds like that's going to be nasty. You need to cut that off at the pass if you can.
Yep.
Right?
Crazy.
And that's... Go ahead.
In the filing, McDonough said he and Wilks, quote, objected to and sought to avoid participation in a scheme hatched by Bidwill to utilize burner phones to communicate. I mean, it's like Breaking Bad. What is going on in Arizona? They're having the quietest offseason of any NFL team.
Yeah.
And then this.
Burner phones? God, what a disaster. See?
Hey, Terry McDonough on the corner selling, like, what are we doing here?
Would you rather be the Bears and trying to build towards something? You've got peace in the room?
Right.
Or do you want to have that nonsense with the Cardinals?
That nonsense is horrible.
Overpaid quarterback? I could say that. I mean, have you seen Kyler Murray?
And now he's hurt with an ACL. He won't be back till middle of the season, if then.
Remember that Cardinals team used to have promise? Like, a little, you know, during Fitzgerald, post Larry Fitzgerald, and now look at them. They're just a disaster. Disaster. All right, that is our look around the National Football League here on ESPN 1000. Let's talk Sox next.
Let's do it.
Connor McKnight joins us on Cap and Jay Hood. Coming right around the corner.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap and Jay Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Cap'n Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Hope you're going to have a great Wednesday. Now time to talk White Sox with Connor McKnight. He joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Connor joins us here, brought to you by Feltco. Good morning, Connor.
Good morning, fellas. Love the little jingle on the way, and it makes me feel very professional. Which
how about that?
Thank you so much.
There
that's
you
awesome.
Go.
So a jingle makes you feel professional.
Oh, yeah. That's all it takes. A little thing, buddy.
Danny wished he could have figured that out sooner.
So, nonetheless, we're going to get your thoughts about you know, the last game for the White Sox against San Francisco. So, again, just a tough one for Kopech. What was his thoughts after the game, the way that he got pummeled by the Giants?
Yeah, you know, the mistakes got hit hard, didn't they? I mean, this was there wasn't a lot of margin for error. Couple things first. I think what was interesting to watch was that he came out with a little bit of amped up velocity, right? We saw 96, we saw 97 early. And in fact, on one of the home runs he gave up, he threw 97 with a fastball. It was a well-located pitch, well enough. And then the next pitch was 96, right about the same spot, and that went the other way. You know, it's not a go back to the lab sort of thing. It's not necessarily, you know, take it all down and destroy it. But I think sometimes with Kopech, and DJ talked about this some on the broadcast as it was happening, when you try and throw harder, some of that stuff can flatten out. And that's not to say that's the only thing that was going on necessarily. But you did see with some of the breaking stuff, there was a little bit of, you know, flatness to it, less sharp than you'd like to see it. And I think that was some problem for Kopech. I also thought when Pedro Grifol, after the game, said, listen, I think he was asked by James Fegan of The Athletic, are you concerned at all about tipping? And he was like, we look for tipping after every start. That's just like part of the checklist after we go through the post-mort, whether it's a good start or a bad start. I thought two things. One, great. I'm really glad you say that out loud. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of guys would play that close to the vest. I like that we're saying to the league, we're watching everything. Don't worry about it. We're on it. And two, that we're, you know, openly, you know, kind of moving forward on that part of it, that we're willing to consider that as part of the issue that may or may not have been going on with Kopech. Whether you talk about it, whether you're like, yeah, he was tipping his pitches, that's one you hold on to for a couple of weeks.
So Dylan Cease was on, I believe, White Sox Weekly with the great Shay Norling. And he confirmed to Shay, who was the first, I think, to pick up on this from our group here, that through PitchCom, he's basically calling his own game. It's not, okay, I'm going to follow what the catcher puts down, shake off, very rare. Do you think that's something we're going to see more of throughout the season with more than just Dylan Cease, or is that a one-off?
Yeah, no, I think that's going to become more and more common. It might take more than just this year, Cap, but when you see guys like Max Scherzer and Zach Greinke playing around with PitchCom and messing around with punching their own buttons during spring training, I think that's the lid lifter, right? I think that takes the – if there was a taboo on it, you know, with pitchers and catchers and that whole dynamic, catchers have called games for thousands of years, right, since the prehistoric times – they were putting down the signs to dinosaurs. Like, that's how we learned this game. But now you give more agency to the pitcher in an era where the pitch timer puts more pressure on that player than ever before. I think it does clear up a lot of communication. And I think, too, you know, when you have a good relationship with your catcher, when you have that, you know, kind of battery cohesion in your pitching staff, your pitching infrastructure, your coaches, you can come in after the inning and go, man, like, hey, three straight sliders to that guy. You saw the double. We got to change that game plan a little bit. It can still go that way, same as it would from pitcher to catcher if it weren't working back in the day. I really do think you're going to see a lot of this. And I'll be really interested to see guys like Yu Darvish or Kodai Senga or, you know, guys who have a ton of pitches. Are we going to run out of buttons? Like, at what point do we not have enough buttons on the controller to make sure you, Darvish, can throw all 50 of the pitches he throws?
Yeah, I mean, the same thing could be said about Clevenger, too, right? Doesn't he have a five-pitch arsenal?
Yeah. I mean, even Lance Lynn to a certain point, Hody, you're right. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have a guy who throws, you know, variations on the fastball, like Maddux did, not equating the stuff necessarily, but like, when you can do whatever you want with a fastball, take a little off here, a little off there, I put the right pad of my index. Like, it was just, it was that intense. Yeah, it's like nine different pitches.
I have a player that I've circled that I'm going to keep my eyes on all season with this White Sox team. Of course, Connor, you're covering the entire team, but I'm really excited about what Luis Robert Jr. can do this season. He's already flashed the leather so well in this series against the Astros and now against the Giants. Do you have a Sox player that you've circled for the season? Say, I'm looking forward to seeing what this player can do for the entire season.
Well, let's spend a second on Robert, because I think you've pointed out a very key guy in this whole tableau, right? I mean, this is an eminently talented player, a guy whose defense alone can get you to something like, I don't know, probably 3.5 wins in a full season in center field. Like, that's how good he is when he's healthy. Maybe 3.5 is a little over, but still a damn good player.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that over the first five games, Robert has produced some, right? He's got the two home runs. I think he's got a double and an RBI single, something like that. But Hody, he's not been locked in. You know, he's been swinging at a lot. He's been chasing a lot of sliders, and still he's provided some of this damage. I think when the White Sox brought in a brand new hitting infrastructure, new hitting coaches, Mike Tosar, you know, all these coaches who are either, you know, in the dugout, on the rail, behind the scenes, all this kind of stuff, it was very much to kind of refine, adjust, or lean into the strengths of some of these players' approaches who might be pretty aggressive. So I will be very interested to see what those effects have, what effects those are on Luis Robert as we get going. He's not a finished product after five games of the season. We'll see how it goes.
Sure.
I think the other guy is Yoan Moncada for a lot of those same reasons. You know, I mean, I think you can kind of cut, copy, paste here on Yoan. I think he is an absolute linchpin in what they're trying to do.
Talk to me about the double play combination up the middle. Will we see at all TA go over to second and Elvis over to short, or they're locked into these positions? Because you've got two shortstops who are really good defensively, both up the middle.
Yeah, I think they're as locked in gets. Pedro, before camp broke, said, you know, Tim's out for a day for whatever reason. Elvis is going to be at short. You know, your backup shortstop is your second baseman, and that's a good thing to have. I think all across the league we've seen I listened to Jason Stark's podcast with Theo Epstein on it yesterday, and they were talking about the renewed emphasis of defense at second base now that the shift ban is in place. It's huge, guys. I mean, you can't have Mike Moustakas playing second base anymore, right? Like, you just can't have a middle linebacker out there at second and then just hope that the shift covers up for his lack of athleticism. You got to be that kind of guy. So I think having both shortstops is important. Remember, the shift, you can't, I'm not sure if this is exactly where you were going, Cap, but it's something to keep in mind. If you have the lefty up, you can't flop your shortstop and second baseman and then flop them back when the righty comes up so that the quote-unquote better defensive players on the other side just for the batter. They do have to stay there for the inning. That's part of the revamped rules as well. But I do think it's Elvis at second and Tim at short, and that's where we're going to be headed here.
Who's your second favorite Giant?
Of all time?
Yep.
Rob Nen.
Wow.
That was going to be a gem. I know you're going to go Bonds first. I know you're going to go Bonds first.
Yeah. Can I explain why?
Yes.
Everybody's going to know this. If you're my age, you're going to know this. When you came up playing baseball video games in like 02, 03, 04, or even earlier than that, if you could get Rob Nen, because remember, Rob Nen had the toe tap, fellas. You remember? He would come set and then deliver down, but that front leg would tap about halfway down the mound and then go. He was impossible to hit because you couldn't, like, my brother could never time that stuff up because Rob Nen's delivery was nasty. Pete Nuri was not timing that stuff up. So I would just ride Rob Nen for three innings out of the bullpen and take my lead down to the end in MVP baseball. It was fantastic. Rob Nen. I loved Rob Nen. I was a big Rob Nen guy.
I knew Bonds would be first. That's why I hit you with the second when you gave us the palindrome, not Rob Nen.
When you said first, I was like, shoot, who is my first? Oh, yeah, it is Barry Bonds. That's right. No, it's Barry Bonds.
See, mine would be Willie Mays.
Fair.
Well, I mean, listen, you can't between Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, and Rob Nen, none of us are wrong. I'll tell you that much.
I would have went Johnny LeMaster, but that's just me.
What about a Willie McCovey?
big time Timmy Jim, Tim Lincecum. He probably deserves some respect there.
Yep.
I love Tim Lincecum.
Or a Buster Posey.
Mm-hmm. Buster, can we just not do that?
Yeah, he doesn't
want on the balcony, please.
Wow. Connor's Keys to the Series is brought to you by Lenny File of Hearthside Realtors. Go to LennyFile.com for all your home needs. Connor, what's the key to the series against San Francisco?
Three keys for you here, guys. One, don't do that again. Don't repeat game one.
Mm-hmm.
Key two is Dylan Cease. Keep doing what you're doing. I mean, 10 strikeouts in six innings against the best lineup maybe in the American League, that's great. No walks was even better. I would just, regardless of what the strikeout total is, I'd love to see Dylan just hunting the strike zone this afternoon. And then the third thing is this. I'm for the bullpen to key up. I know that the first four games, we're all against the Astros, and they are a damn good lineup. But it is time for the bullpen to step up a little bit. If Dylan's not able to give him a full run, if, God forbid, we've got a little weather that puts a rain delay on and takes the starter out after three because we've got to wait an hour or whatever, then you got to see that bullpen step up. It has been taxed a little bit. It gave up a lot of slugging percentage against the Astros, and it walked a lot of guys. So I think those are your three things. This Giants lineup, despite the results on Monday, shouldn't necessarily be world beaters. So I think you got two good-looking games here today and tomorrow.
Connor, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Rob Nen forever, boys. Rob,
have a great day, buddy.
Rob Nen. That's enough. Rob Nen.
You clipped him.
Yep, on purpose.
What?
On the CarX Tired Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Rob Nen.
Don't worry, call the CarX Man.
We've got a crazy animal story for you coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Welcome back
to Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 10 o'clock. Then Mike Greenberg takes over from 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko 12 to 12:30 into the White Sox pregame as the Sox take on the Giants. Cease against Webb. That's a 1:10 start right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie after the Sox game right into Bleck and Abdallah from 6 to 8. Freddie and Fitzsimmons 8 to midnight here on ESPN 1000. Now time for Animal Story.
Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Bears. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Time for an animal story. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
I have two of them here. The second is a bit of a fluff, lighthearted thing, because the first one, to be honest with you, Hoodie, is terrifying.
Okay.
A Minnesota man woke up to a bat biting his hand.
He's sleeping in a
in his house.
In the house. A bat got in the house.
He was in bed with his wife. He woke up, bat. Biting his hand. His answer, swat the bat away, wash my hands with soap and water, go back to sleep with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
He got rabies.
Oh. How'd it turn out?
Not well. It turned out the way rabies typically turns out.
So long, everybody.
He's dead.
So long, everybody.
So long, everybody is right.
Yeah. From Chicago.
Wow.
Yep.
Is there a scarier situation, Cap, than waking up to a bat biting your hand?
I've had that happen several times and kicked her out.
Wow.
Battle axe.
Hey. Very good. A bat biting your hand. What would be, I mean, short of an intruder coming into the house.
But I mean, the bat, he comes in, that's the end. One bite.
What
done.
Would be more, like, I have a good friend who got left a barbecue. Friends were having a barbecue.
Yeah.
He's walking to his car. He's probably listening right now. I won't out him by name.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call him Phil.
Okay. You just did. Go ahead.
It's actually his real name.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I won't give his last name.
Yeah.
He was walking to his car.
I know who you're talking about, but go ahead.
Bat flies right in and bites him in the chest.
Nah!
He had to go get all the shots.
Yeah.
Yes!
Ugh.
That would be the end of the rest of my day. I honestly, I might walk around with like a brass breastplate for the rest of my life. What's shocking to me about this story is this guy wakes up to a bat biting his hand, and he just washes his hands and goes to bed.
What would be worse?
I'm never going to sleep again if I wake up to a bat biting my hand.
What would be worse? The bat flying in there, a rabid coyote got in, or a snake somehow came in through the toilet, and you opened up the toilet, and it's gotcha.
Yes, especially if you sat down.
Oh, my God.
That'll be an instant bidet.
That would be.
the snake got you. The snake got you underneath there.
What is all the blood?
My God, I have a bloody stool.
It's the snake! Oh, God! Mindy! Mindy!
What is it, hun?
Did you do this? No, I'm in menopause. No.
Wow.
Sorry, Mindy.
So.
That was not right.
Hey, man, she's in her later 50s. What do you want me to tell you? Come on.
Clean up on aisle 9.
She's going to kick my ass tonight.
Shay. That's terrifying. What you just told us, like a bat flying out of nowhere. Like you'll get a fly or a mosquito coming in there, but like a whole ass bat coming in there. That's terrifying.
If I woke up with anything biting my hand, I'm never sleeping again.
Wow.
That's how do you get back in bed? How? And then go to honey. I just had a bat biting my hand. Had to take care of things. We're good to go. No shot.
No.
I'm staying awake forever with a baseball bat.
Jeez.
That's horrific.
How did the bat get in there? That's I don't know.
When in my childhood home in suburban Detroit,
yes.
I remember in my parents' room, they were in like the upstairs sort of adjacent to the attic. Bats would fly through their bedroom occasionally.
Oh.
Now I'm thinking about imagine my dad waking up to one biting his hand.
Yeah, my wife in Dixon.
Yeah.
At her parents' home, up in the attic, they went up there. Bat. What? I'm never staying at that house.
Oh, no.
What's worse, the bat or having to get on a train to Detroit?
All right. What are you going to do that for? I tell you, the bat in the bedroom might be a burn the house down situation, actually.
Burn the house down. Oh, that's Detroit.
I want to.
that's typical D. Boy.
That's fair. Fair. Listen, clean shot.
That's in Halloween.
I want to pay off the tease of the second one, the more lighthearted story.
Yes.
In Buffalo Grove, there's a pig named Norbert that is riding around the suburbs on a skateboard.
Mm.
So if you're in Buffalo Grove and you see a pig on a skateboard, no, you are not imagining things. That's just Norbert. Say hello.
Norbert. That's just a real clear waste of bacon. Put him on a skateboard. Oh. It is.
Wow.
Put that bacon on a skateboard and hand it over to me, pal.
There you go.
You don't need a pig doing that. What is he, Arnold? From Green Acres? Stop. I mean, get the pig off the skateboard and just bring him over to me on a plate.
Brutal.
Rival executives think that the Bears should be upset. Why? We talk about that in 2 minutes. And also, we'll talk about Adam West coming into your attic. Batman coming in on Chicago's Home for Sports.